Blog Talk Radio.
Humble little palace, from the friend that I can call my own. Until I start to wander down a street that took me anywhere but home. Who's that lonesome stranger looking like she's all dressed up and hand me down? I may be mistaken. Could be that store-bought evening gown. Have we met before? I think it's true, but what's your name? I can't see through the smoke. Is that a wedding ring or an old blood stain? I don't like to dance. Talking seems to be an awful waste of time. Lying on my back, trying to forget something across my mind. I lost my place when I was reading late last night. I came up on a word, it made me pause, and then somebody killed the light. Stumbling up the steps, trying to find a switch, I took a wrong turn. Ended up in here, in a place I said I never would return. It looked like from a distance you might have caught my wandering eye. But now that you're up close, I think I'm gonna let you walk on by. Moving around the room, asking for directions, somewhere to go. Hung up in the rafters, trying to make my way to the floor below. When I get the time, gonna gather up my suit of clothes, pocket watch and boots, my leather coat in case the cold wind starts to blow. Cross the ocean deep, through a winding valley to a mountaintop. I might be standing here, but in my heart the truth is that I'm not. Thank you.
I would like to welcome everyone to John Talk Radio tonight. This is the November the 5th, 2016 show. My special guest tonight is Maurice Matei, and we're going to be talking about Maurice's latest LP, Songs of Peril and Conquest. We opened up tonight's show with a cut from that by Humble Little Palace. Maurice, welcome to the show. Are you there? Maurice, are you there? Let's see here. Maurice, are you there?
I am here.
How are you?
I'm good.
I can hear you good. I was an IT guy for a long time, and I know that, you know, we are slaves to the technology that's out there today. And I hit the buttons, and sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't. But I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight, Maurice. And this album is awesome. I mean, I've listened to it quite a bit. We're going to jump right into it, talk about the songs. We started off with My Humble Little Palace.
Yeah, not exactly the most cheerful song on the CD to start out with, but that's good.
But it's such an amazing song. I mean, I think it's got this, there's piano in this, correct?
Yeah, that's Corn. My wife, she did the piano on that.
Yeah,
kind of a last minute thing, you know. She wanted to do initially for the song, she wanted to do a background vocal, but that didn't really work. I think I thought, she had this riff in mind with a piano, and we just sort of did it when she was doing the background vocals. That same day she was in it there, and it worked out nicely. I think it adds a lot to the song.
Oh, I do too. I think it's incredible. It's kind of got this haunting feel to it. Every time we talk, you know, I think I'm always blown away by the lyrics of your music, and you can just get so much out of it. I'm sure you want the listener to kind of interpret things as they go along. But talk about that, Maurice, about the song and the writing of that.
Number?
Yeah, that particular song, My Humble Little Palace.
Well, that one is it's sort of personal and more than maybe some of the other ones are. Sometimes I have a longing to be in Italy or back and visit, you know. And I think that's really what that song is about. That it's somewhat nebulous, but I think it gets to the point in the last verse, because it starts out with this person is seemingly kind of aimless and wandering, you know, and you don't find out what's really going on in the character's mind until the last verse, when he says, you know, basically that he wants to be somewhere else, you know. and that's really what that song is all about. That's why I closed the record with it. Yeah.
Well, there's one particular line in there that just jumped out at me that I thought was, wow, where you said, I can't see through the smoke. Is that a wedding ring or an old blood stain?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's that's pretty deep. I mean, talk about
that. Well, that, you know, that's from, doesn't always happen, you know, but many times people get into relationships and situations where they come out of it wounded and a mess or scarred, you know, just happens. It's part of life, right? So when you meet someone, or that person, particular person meets someone, and that's just kind of a metaphorical way of saying, you know, that you could tell this person's kind of been through it, more or less, you know, been through the ringer in some way or another. And it's just kind of a, just kind of an offhanded way of saying that, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty, I would just have to say it's pretty brilliant. That lyric just like stood out to me. It was like, wow, it was something I had to stop and think about, because it just, the song itself, and, you know, you and I have talked quite a few times in the past, and we've gone over your albums, and to me, you just have to really listen and take it in musically and lyrically and let everything kind of sink in. When you write the song, Maurice, what are you thinking that you want the person that's receiving this or listening to this, what is it that you want them to get from the song? I mean, is it like hit them over the head with something, or is it just kind of lay some things out for them to think about? I don't know if that makes any sense to me, but I'm trying to think how it would feel to write lyrics like that.
Well, I think what you're trying to do, at least what I'm trying to do when you, and of course the interpretation is 100 different interpretations for 100 different people who listen to it, right? But what you want to do is at least get across a feeling that you've experienced, or that you know someone else's experience. You're trying to communicate an emotion, a feeling, okay? And, you know, people may get that in different ways, or they may interpret a certain lyric in a certain way and then another one. But in the end, hopefully the song will communicate an emotion, a feeling, whether it may be happy or down, you know, or in between or whatever, you know, or kind of just, you know, all variety of different human emotions. But that's what you try to communicate, I think, in a song. And if you can touch somebody in that way, I think the song works. Basically, that's the best songs, right? If you can get to someone's emotions, or they connect with it, right? That's what
correct.
That's what you know. That's what the lyrics should be about, right? I mean, that's the way I approach it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and that, you know, when you've been doing it a while, it's like anything else, any other kind of art form, a craft that you do, you get a certain intuitive feel for what works and what doesn't, you know. And, I just, those kinds of lines that you're talking about specifically in that song, they aren't like very planned out. They just come, and but when you've got to be ready to accept it, to hear it, you know, and to put it in the tune. So you know, it's very nebulous. It's very, very kind of vague, but really, songwriting is nebulous and vague to me, you know.
Now, Maurice, when you say that it works, explain that to me, because is that something that you have to feel it works, or the people you're playing it for have to receive it? What is it that you have to gather in to make this song to work?
I think it's both. It has to work for you, and hopefully you've reached a certain understanding of the songwriting that you'll understand if it works for other people too, you know. That's what I mean when I say that it works, you know. It's not something you can necessarily teach. It's something that comes with time, I think, and it takes a while, and it takes writing a lot of material, and I think it takes listening to a lot of material. And you don't always get it right, you know. But the more you do it, the more you get it right than you get it wrong. And what I mean, that's it. I mean, that's basically what I mean. If it works, that is, it connects with you, it seems to fit the tune, fit the feeling, and then it also works when other people hear it. That's when you're doing a good job with it, you know.
Do you have somebody that you bounce the song off right off when you get it to a point where you want to share it with somebody? Is there someone that you always go to, or are there different people that you go to?
Well, the first person who always hears my music, my songs, is Corin, you know, my wife. She hears them, and she's got a pretty good ear. She's got a good ear for that kind of thing. And she's very, she's not patronizing. That is, but what I mean is, if it's lousy, she's going to say it's lousy. It doesn't work, you know. If it stinks, it stinks. And so I count on that a lot. As far as other people, not really. One thing that does help is, two things. Two things help in knowing what songs work and what songs don't work. One is performing them live, right? And you see which ones connect and which ones don't. But then also recording, because you could be playing a song and you can even have it a little recording in your little cassette player, which is what I do. But until you actually hear it through a decent system that is recorded nicely and the engineer there listening to it too, and you hear the playback, that's also a very telling moment. And I've often, it's inevitable that I'll have songs that I've recorded where I change things after I recorded it, or play it in a different way, or because it, you just hear it more clearly. You know, there's a very clinical kind of, when it's not mastered and it doesn't have any effects and it's just a clean, dry take of the song, you hear all the little things that you would have done differently. So that's basically it. I mean, there aren't really other people that have bounced the songs off of other than that.
Well, one thing, you know, you were talking about your wife listening to it and being honest, and I really understand what that means, because that's one of the things with my wife that I always kind of stood out, was that when I would play something or create something, that, you know, she would be very honest with me. And if it worked, it worked. And if it didn't, it didn't. And at first I wasn't real good with that. You know, I thought, I thought that was pretty good. And then the more I thought about it, it's like, yeah, I really need that, because you know, I don't want somebody to just say, hey, that's really awesome, and just, you know, when it isn't. So I think that's great that happens, and your wife is a musician.
Yeah, you know what, though, thinking about that, it's kind of a luck of the draw, really, for me, because just because somebody's honest with you about whether they like the song or not doesn't mean they're right. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah.
Because they could be honest with you, but they could have lousy taste, and so they're missing the whole point of the song anyway. So you have to be discerning. You know, you have to know the person, and you have to consider the source. Basically, you have to consider the source, because you have to know the person you're taking advice from. And I think Corin's generally right about it. You know, sometimes I think she's off, but
is she listening,
you know,
tonight?
I don't know. I think no, she's locked in a room.
Oh,
no,
funny.
She's not. She's I don't know if she's listening. Probably not. But you know, that happens with everybody, right? You don't always get it right when you hear something. I mean, I've heard songs that at first I didn't like at all, and it takes time to get it. To get what it's about.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a great point. It's like I can listen to a song, and at first I think, you know, it's not that great of a song, and then when you were talking about the recording part, when you hear it, like, and it's coming back to you, and it's very clear, and you can hear it,
yeah.
And it hasn't been overdubbed, it hasn't been, you know, fancied up or anything. I love that. I think that's the greatest sound when you hear that.
Yeah.
And when you're doing that, Maurice, when you're thinking about playing it live, are you taking into your mind of how you're going to record it because of you have to play it live, or does that come into play at all when you're recording it?
No, it really doesn't. The two things are separate for me. First and foremost, they're two separate things. I may record the song one way because it works in a record that way, but in live, it may not. You know, it may be boring. It may have too many lulls, or it may not work as well. So I change it, or I don't do it at all live. Basically, what happens is I don't do it at all. There's some songs that work nicely on a record, but you try to do them in a live venue, and they just don't translate for some reason. And I think it's the intimacy of the recording process, of the recording. You're listening to it by yourself, or, you know, on headphones or something, and you give it a different sort of attention than in a live venue, right? And so the two things, no, I don't really relate the two at all. And also, the other thing about that is that in a recording, I think in terms of sequencing. Now, nowadays, that's old hat, you know. But I think I still think of the old school method. That is, you know, when records, LPs, right? They were sequenced to have, you know, they were sequenced in a very specific way, like a story or a movie, sort of. Not narrative wise, but sound wise. Okay.
Right.
But now people just go from whatever to whatever on their whatever device they're listening to, you know, and they hop around and they don't pay for it. But I don't do that. I still approach it as a beginning to end kind of medium. Okay, so that's the other thing. When I record a song, I think in terms of it being how will it sound next to this song or before that song. You know what I mean? So it's got to have it. That is important to me. And that same song, you know, in a live performance is not going to, that's not going to be really that much of an issue because I mix it up when I do live stuff. I do stuff from other records and all that. So, you know, that's another thing to think about, to deal with. It makes the two things very separate in my mind.
Now, when you're playing it live, when you're playing music live, and you were talking about listening to your songs when they're recorded and coming back to you very clear, you can hear everything. When you're playing live, what is it that you're looking for in a crowd? I know that you probably play places that people are familiar with your music, but that you may play places that people aren't familiar with your music. What are you looking for when you are playing? Is it distracting when people are talking, or
no, not to me.
Just go forward with it.
Yeah, I just go forward with that. That doesn't distract me at all. The number one thing that you look for is that people aren't walking out the door.
the door first, yeah.
Yeah, if people are walking out the door of the venue or going to another room or something,
that's a bad sign.
That's a bad sign. And I don't mind people there and talking, you know, but if people feel like they have to get out, that's telling you that you're doing a really crummy job, and you gotta change something. And so that's number one. Number two is if you have a captive audience, is that I think you should try to balance out your set so it's not predictable or it doesn't sound the same. cut to cut, song to song, okay? So you vary it up a little bit from song to song and keep people guessing. But those are the two things. But the most important thing is that somehow you establish some kind of connection with, again, it comes down to that. You establish some kind of connection with the audience, and that may be, first of all, you got to perform the songs well, okay? But secondly, you also have to interact a bit with the crowd, not be this, you know, somber. Well, some people pull it off that way. Some people make money doing that. But not be this kind of introspective kind of thing going on. That generally doesn't work unless you're an established act, right? But to me, it seems like in a club, you have to have some kind of connection that is even talking a bit in between songs and making kind of breaking down the wall between the stage and the audience, okay? And
right.
That is the performance, but it's also being ingratiating, I suppose, you know, some finding a way to kind of communicate just from an attitude, really. And people are attracted to that. I sometimes get that right, and sometimes I don't. I've been better at that, but that's always a little bit tricky.
Is there an artist, Maurice, that you have listened to live that you think really does a great job at that?
I mean, Ray Davies is always such a great. He had just a natural way. I'm just talking about stage presence and
right.
being able to just, you know, make you feel like turn that whole place into like a room, like a small room.
Right.
He could do that. He was effortless and it looked completely natural. Okay. So Ray Davies was great at that. There are certain people that just you can see by the way they act that's what they've always been meant to do. You know, that they
Correct.
Are just natural up there on stage. A lot of that is just being natural. You know, when you see somebody that's forced or trying too hard, I think that's when it gets you into trouble. Trying to think of other people, you know, like Jonathan Richman was always kind of, you know, he played the quirky kind of thing on stage, but he always connected real well with a crowd. Bob Dylan never did. my mind.
I was waiting for you to say that because I wasn't going to mention it, but
yeah.
I was going to ask you about
now,
it.
No, and, you know, and he made kind of a, he turned that into kind of an art form, that kind of detached artist thing, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't do anything, it never did much for me, but, you know, there's some, you know, Iggy Pop was just absolutely crazy on stage and just absolutely probably the best. I don't know. I can't think of hardly anybody who was more absolutely natural and no holes barred kind of performer on stage. I've never seen anything like that. But, you know, there are a few. From the old school, you know, there's people like Billie Holiday and that you look at and you say, wow. Or that I've never seen, obviously, but people like Sam Cooke, clearly would have just absolutely taken over a stage and it would have been ridiculous, ridiculously good, you know. You know, there's people like that, you know, Otis Redding, that kind of thing. But that's about it, you know. A lot of my favorite ones, I think, that I would have liked the most, I've never seen. So that's the way it goes.
Yeah, and that's interesting because I look back at some of the concerts that I've seen and some that I, really connected with. I thought Mavis Staples did a great job when I heard her, and it was like you were her friend. It's like you knew her, and it was like that's what I thought, wow, how does she do that? It's like she just made me feel like I could probably sit down and talk to her and not know her at all. I don't know if that would ever happen. Yeah. But
Right,
I
and that's yeah, and that's one way of that performers do it. The other way is being intimidating in the sense of not like I said, detached way, but being so, I don't know, animated or extroverted that they take over the stage like Iggy Pop did,
Yeah,
and
I
just
saw him once.
became, and just became this thing up there that you're transfixed really when he's on, and but it's not like you're not necessarily into being his friend. You just kind of are looking at this like, wow, how's he do this?
Yeah, you want to stay at a distance probably from
Right.
Iggy at that point. Yeah, I agree with that. I think let's play another song and talk about that. I'd like to play Usually Not. Would you like to talk about that a minute, Maurice?
Oh yeah, that was one of those songs, and I think you hear it in the tune, that came really quickly. I just had the title, and the storyline kind of came pretty quickly. I think the lyrics are more harkened back to like a Tin Pan Alley kind of songs, like the Boswell Sisters maybe, and that kind of thing in a way. They're more kind of that genre of music, that era. And it's got a nice sort of swing kind of feel. Again, Korn does the background vocals on this, and I did a little lead guitar on it, so I think it turned out well. I like this
Yeah,
one.
I like that lead break. That's really nice. My guest is
Yeah,
Maurice
thanks.
Mattei, and you can go to his website, mmattei.com, MMATTEI.com, and know all about everything you want to know about Maurice. It's right there in his website. And let's play this song, and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of the music. And we'll be right back, so don't go anywhere. This is John Talk Radio, and this is Usually Not. Maurice Mattei from Songs of Peril and Conquest.
Be nice to Mr. Kendricks, living halfway down the hall. He might want you to get his mail, so answer when he calls. I seen his high-toned lady friend, I seen her through the lock. Sometimes she come by after 10, but usually not. They say she lives in Hampton, Hampton by the sea. I went there about a year ago, and I took my wife with me. Staying at the Belvedere can set you back a lot. Sometimes I'd rather stay right here, but usually not. You think I've been up too late? I think maybe you're right. Moon shining through the shade kept me up all night. Don't bother with a schoolgirl, son, they need some seasoning. Find yourself the kind of girl who's trained in pleasing. I thought I saw one yesterday at a traffic stop. Sometimes I know just what to say, but usually not. Jack and Jim on the rim. corner shop, walking up and down the street, in the parking lot. I've been tempted, I've been stung, I almost got shot. There's times I don't like what I've done, but usually not. Usually not. Usually not.
We're back with Maurice Mate. We're talking about his latest album, CD, LP, Songs of Peril and Conquest. That was Usually Not. What kind of guitar were you playing on that, Maurice?
I play a Guild. It's an old 50s, I think, Guild. I don't know the exact, you know, whatever, the number. But it's a nice guitar. I mean, it's the same guitar I've used. Do all my acoustic stuff for the past 15 years or whatever, but it records really well. I got to mention, you know, the guy who recorded it, this record, Mike Tittle, he did a fantastic job. We just did it over at his place and really got a nice sound, really vibrant, I think, a real vibrant kind of upfront kind of sound to it. Yeah.
Now, is that a song that you would play live? With electric?
Oh yeah, that's a good. I could do that. I could probably pull that off with the band. Yeah, sure. It's got kind of, if you listen to it, I was listening to it, and it's got kind of that. What's his name? John Lee Hooker. That kind of that guitar kind of thing that he used to do. That, you know, bluesy thing. But yeah, that's definitely, that really works well live. But I don't know, I've never played with a band, but as far as just with acoustic, that really works well. It's a real up tune, and it's a good, it's got a different, you know, rhythm than other songs, so it's a nice kind of variation in the lyrics. People like the lyrics in that one. So
yeah, it's, you know, is there a Mr. Kendricks in real life?
No. Oh, well, yeah, I'm sure there is, but I've never met Mr. Kendricks. I'm sure, that is, I probably have, but I, not knowingly, but no, not really. That's all stuff that's kind of made up, you know. It's like I said, that song, it's strange. I keep saying this, and I've said this on your show before, but songs just come out of nowhere. I mean, that's what's really fascinating about songwriting, is that a tune will just happen and you don't know where it came from, you don't know how, but it's right there, and it's sort of like wrote itself, and that just happened to be one of them.
Yeah, I think that, you know, always, every time I talk to songwriters, Maurice, it's like the most fascinating thing to me, because, you know, the talent has to be there, and I don't know if you and I have ever talked about, like, Jeff Tweedy from Wilco. He said probably one of the coolest ways about writing songs, and I love his songs, and he talks about you have to do the work. You have to have the talent. You have to put in the time.
Right.
You have to put in the practice. You have to do all that. You just can't wave a magic wand. But once you get that all into your subconscious and you work hard at it, then it does come up, and it does just create, and it's like amazing, and I think that's a good way to put it, because, you know, I've interviewed this guy once who I can't remember his name right now, but he said, you know, he wasn't that musical or anything, and he would go into a meditation room and just start meditating, and a song would come, and he would go get his friends and they would put it together. And then, you know, I've interviewed folks that were Nashville songwriters that, you know, clocked in at 8 o'clock, Maurice, and they would
right.
Start writing songs. I don't. What do you think of that? Do you think you could do that? Do you think Maurice Mate could go in at 8 o'clock and start?
Yeah. Actually, at this point, I think I could. To be honest, I think I actually could, because what he was saying, that fellow you were talking about, what he was saying about putting in the work and the time, that is essential. That's absolutely essential. Once you have that, you have a certain, a certain reservoir that you can tap.
Yeah.
You don't even tap into it. It's just there. And sometimes it comes out and sometimes it doesn't. But you have to put in the work. And by that I mean write songs and play and perform them and do other people's material. Just do work like that, play music over a period of years, and eventually that kind of starts happening. Now, there's some people that it happens more, obviously, more frequently, and, you know, those are songwriters, so to speak. And I think I fall into that. I think I'm more a songwriter than I am a technically gifted musician, you know. I mean, I can get by, and I can play fine, you know, but I'm not exactly, you know, Eric Clapton or something. Jeff Beck, whatever. But it's a different kind of thing, songwriting. And I think actually at this point, because I know the song structures, and I probably could pull that off. Now, whether they'd be good songs or good songs that I would find interesting, that's an entirely, that I don't know, you know. Who knows?
Well, you know, when you were talking about your guitar, your guild, and you didn't know the number, and I can totally relate to that. I read an interview from Paul McCartney, and this guy was talking to Paul, and he was this young technical guy from a magazine, and he was asking Paul all about his Hofners and the different things and different numbers and all that. And Paul said, I don't know any of that. And he said, I don't know any of the versions. I don't know the numbers. I don't know. He said, I'm not technical at all. I just know what sounds good. And I can pick it up and play it. And I know this one I don't like, this one. And I think that made me feel good for some reason. It was like, he's not a supernatural being. You know, he's just an amazing guy that's thinking, well, you know, I don't know the technical parts of it, but, you know, I can kind of write a song pretty well. That's kind of what I was thinking. Now, the album, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, right? I understand that mentality perfectly because that's exactly the way I am. It's like I'm the same way with recording. He's the guy who recorded this. He's a good songwriter, and he's also a very good technician. And he's got both going on, right? I don't, you know, and I think I don't know about most, but I know I can relate to what you're saying there. I don't know about that kind of stuff at all. I know what kind of sound I like and what works and what doesn't work. As far as the technical aspects of how to get there, which is a shortcoming, you know, but the technical aspects of it, I don't really concern myself with that. I don't want to get bogged down in all that. I just want to just kind of write, and the rest of it, if you have a good song, the rest of it will take care of itself, okay? And that's the way, basically, I approach it, so...
Now, on the album, you have one cover, Silence is Golden.
Yeah.
Talk about why you picked that and what that song, why that song stood out to you, Maurice.
Well, I picked it because I love the song. I heard it on driving, and it was on an oldie station. It was a Four Seasons song. Tremolos did it, too, after the Four Seasons, I believe. And I thought the words, the production, the whole feel of the song was really moving and special, you know. I thought it really, really stood out, especially the lyric. The lyric was surprisingly deep for the time because it was a flip side of a Four Seasons hit, And I'm not a big, I'm not a, really a fan of that. I mean, I'll listen to Ragdoll or something, but I'm not a big fan. It can get irritating, that falsetto, but I like that song. Was really powerful to me, and I just decided to do it because it fit in the feel of, it fit in nicely in the sequencing and fit in nicely in the feel of the overall CD. And I hadn't done a cover on one of my studio records since probably late 90s, something like that. So this one was out of, it wasn't customary for me to do that, but I just thought it was very nice. It feels real good in the sequencing of the songs.
Yeah, you do a great job.
It stands up on its own too, you know. Oh, thank
you. Yeah, very good. Let's play that. And my guest is Maurice Matei, and you can go to Maurice's website, mmatei.com, and we're talking about and playing songs from Maurice's latest CD, Songs of Peril and Conquest. Is there any, what ways can people get the CD or the music, Maurice?
It'll be, you can get it through my site just by contacting me directly. It'll be on Amazon, and not now, but after the 18th of November. And it also, if you're in Cincinnati, it'll be at Everybody's Records in Pleasant Ridge. And, of course, it'll be at shows.
Okay. And we'll talk about that when we come back. And stick around. We'll be right back with Maurice Matei. This is Silence is Golden from his latest release, Songs of Peril and Conquest.
Deep inside, deep inside, to see someone or do something to her. Oh, don't it hurt to see somebody cry, especially when that someone is her. But my eyes still see. Silence is golden, golden, but my eyes still see. Talking is cheap, people follow like sheep, even though there ain't nowhere to go. How could she tell he deceives her so well? It's a pity she's the last one to know. The silence is golden, but my eyes still see. My eyes still see. How many times will she fall for his line? Should I tell her or should I be cool? If I try, I know she'd say I lied. Mind your business, don't hurt her, you fool. Silence is golden, but my eyes still see. Silence is golden, golden, but my eyes still see.
We're back with Maurice Mate. We're talking about Songs of Peril and Conquest. You can go on his website, mmattei.com, M-M-A-T-T-E-I.com. And that's where you can purchase a CD, and it's going to be on Amazon soon. And Amazon is very addicting, Maurice. It's like, I don't know if I should have ever got on that site, because just about anything you can think of is there. And I think it's awesome. It's like, okay, I like to have this poster, and I'll get Maurice's CD and a pair of socks. And it's just pretty incredible how that site has taken off and has just about everything. So,
yeah, very convenient.
Yeah, you don't have to go anywhere. You just hit a button and it's right there the next day. That's just crazy. But Maurice, it's been so good talking to you. I really appreciate it. I think the album's amazing. I've listened to it
you.
A lot.
Glad you like it.
I think I really do. What's going on outside of that? Are you working on a new album? Do you have any live performances or gigs you'd like to talk about coming up?
Yes. Well, we have the CD release for this show, and that's going to be at Southgate House Revival. It's going to be on November 18th, and I'll be opening a show, doing a set, and also Grateful Surf will be doing a couple sets after me, and that'll be fun. I mean, it's going to be a good time, you know, the surf music, and it'll be like a real kind of a different mix of stuff that night, and we're really looking forward to that. And of course, I'll have the CD available there. That'll be the release date, essentially. So that's Friday, November 18th, at the Southgate House Revival in Newport, Kentucky. And then doing a show for Queen City Balladeers. I've never played there. Well, I did a long time ago, but that's going to be, I believe, the 5th of December. And that's, I think, let me see here. I think it's the 5th. No, it's the 4th. 4th of December, 7:30, Queen City Balladeers. And you can look that up online, just Queen City Balladeers, and they have the schedule on there. So I'm looking forward to that. And that's it. Then I'm going to hibernate for the winter, and I'll be all better in the spring.
Have you started working on new music?
No, I haven't. I'm, you know, it's strange. This is the third CD. It started with Celebrity Issue, and that I hadn't really planned on doing any more music for a while, and all of a sudden I wrote a song for that. And I just kept writing and kept writing, and I ended up with 3 CDs out of that. And that's it. You know, that's it for now. I think I'm going to take a break, probably. So I don't really have any intention of doing any music. Right now, I like doing things that way. I like taking a break from stuff, and then whatever that may be, the stuff may be, and then maybe going back to it, or maybe not, I don't know. At some point you can kind of get stale if you're always trying to think of new material. This is going to be it for a little while for me anyway. So.
Is there anything I didn't mention that you would like to talk about before we close the interview?
Well, not really. No, I mean, I hope that people get a chance to listen to this. You'll be able to hear the whole CD after the November 18th directly on my site. It'll be on there. That you won't be able to download it, but you'll actually be able to hear the whole song, everything, with the lyrics and everything, after the 18th. So. Other than that, no, you know, everybody have a happy holiday season.
Yeah, I can't believe it. That holiday season is here already. I can't believe it, but I guess I better.
And don't forget to fall back.
Yeah, tonight we got to fall back. And
right.
Yeah. Well, Maurice, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always one of my favorite things to be on your show. I appreciate you giving me the time, and it's always fun to do. Thanks a lot, John.
Well, thank you. And thanks, everyone, for listening to John Talk Radio. We've been doing this since 2008, and we'll just keep doing it till, like Marie said, I just feel like taking a break someday. But we'll keep going trucking, and thank you so much, and everybody have a great evening.
A gun in his hand, it didn't look real. Got off in Arlington Heights, eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. Nobody's slowing down, not yet. Nowhere to turn around, but I guess she couldn't care less. Here in the valley below, I steady my leg, I fall on my knees. Got caught down on the beach, signaling ships out in the sea. I want another chance. Don't forget, can't sing and I can't dance, but I guess she couldn't care less. Up some boys on the road, dressed for success, strangers in town. Stage lights fading to black, taking a seat as the curtain comes down. Tell my friends on the coast, I did my best, and send my love to Rose, but I bet couldn't care less. She couldn't care less. No money in my pocket, the air smells just as sweet. I stop to watch the passers-by, the people on the street. At home among the ruins and pathways left unswept, I ask for change without reply on the Spanish steps. Rome is lovely, it's time of year. Rome is lovely, my dear. There's nowhere else on earth I would rather be than here. here as a young man many years ago in the company of good friends and those I didn't know. We saw the Colosseum, the ancient Pantheon. I stayed behind the one I loved, but now my love is gone. Rome is lovely this time of year. Rome is lovely, my dear. There is nowhere else on earth I would rather be than here. When we were together, we lived a life of ease. I was never watchful. I did as I pleased. From the palace to the gutter, doors held open wide. Royalty, rogues and thieves welcomed us inside. While acting out a scene from the slaves of Aramea, she let out a scream, so thoughtless and so cruel. I stayed true to my part. I drew a knife from my kit bag and stabbed her through the heart. Rome is lovely this time of year. Rome is lovely, my dear. There is nowhere else on earth I would rather be than here. Now she's buried in the dungeons, Agrippa's bloody hole. I pass there in the dead of night, praying for her soul. Though there's no resting place, no comfort to retreat, I'll always stay here by her side. I will never leave. Rome is lovely this time of year. Rome is lovely, my dear. There is nowhere else on earth I would rather be than here.